All right. Well, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. Let's see. Today we are broadcasting from Expectation Tower here in the second week of Advent on the campus of Concordia Seminary. And we are reading Hebrews. We're in chapter 10. When did we start this? Does anybody know? Long time ago. But we are in chapter 10, and I believe we are starting up at verse 11, so let's just jump right in, and you'll discover that it's not too bad. We make it fairly far today. So verse 11, Kaipas men, there's a men, we'll get a da, verse 12, Kaipas men hiereus hesteken kath hemeron, light yergon kai tas autos polakas prosperon thizias. Haitenes, udepata dunantai peri elein hamartias. End of men construction. So, and every priest, on the one hand, of course you don't always have to translate men and da. Sometimes it's just, you know, you're just supposed to keep looking till you see the other shoe dropping. And every priest, now this is hesteken, which is from the fourth principal part of histemi. And Dr. Vels, actually, in his not-so-fundamental Greek grammar, has a very nice summary, because some forms of this verb are transitive and some are intransitive. And so who can remember all these things? Answer, you look them up. Hesteka is the fourth principal part of histemi, and it actually, even though it's fourth principal part, perfect active, it has a present indicative intransitive meaning. So stands, it would be how you translate this perfect form. You can see, you can spot it as a perfect stem just because of the kappa, perhaps, which is characteristic of many of the fourth principal part stems. So just like a present indicative. And every priest, on the one hand, stands. Here we have once again the distributive kata plus the accusative. Daily, day by day. And now we have two participles. Liturgon, which means a serving in a liturgical sense, hence the term liturgy. And then if you keep going five words down or four words down, you have prosferon, which is from prosfero, means to offer sacrifices. Right? Now, this actually fits well. Of course, there's different ways to classify participles if we take these both as predicate position. This is actually fits nicely into what Veltz calls attendant circumstance. That is, their present stem, and they follow a verb, I'm not kidding you, of either motion or anti-motion, right? This is Dr. Veltz's way of describing this, and it actually fits very nicely. Here we have a verb of anti-motion, right? And so what the payoff is that you take the finite verb and you sort of, the participle is actually part of the meaning. Every priest stands worshiping and offering. So it's almost like a composite verbal idea, right? So you don't have to translate stands while he worships or something like that. So we'll take them that way because that makes good sense in this context. So every priest, day by day, stands worshiping, and now we have to parse. I look at this word order and I think to myself, why? And I have no idea. But we have tas autos, so we have accusative, feminine, plural accusatives, right? And then, of course, we get another one three words later, thizias, or thizias. And remember that autos now would be in attributive position. So it means, anybody? Same. The same sacrifices. Polakis, often, variously, many times. So on the one hand, every priest day by day stands offering and, worshiping and offering the same sacrifices frequently. Haitinus is from hostis. It's kind of a compound relative pronoun, so you have to parse the hos part and you have to parse the tis part. So this is actually feminine plural nominative, and the antecedent is sacrifices, which which sacrifices, never, udepata, dunantai, are able, peri elaine. Now, you get a parsing award if you can tell me what this is from. No, good guess. It's from Peri Ireo. Yeah, so, well, that's right. Preacher ball tonight at 7 o'clock. Who are we playing, Will?
We're playing Principia.
Principia, okay. Yeah, so don't get sick because it's not reality. That's right. And are we going to win?
We did last year.
Okay. Past performance is no guarantee of future success, right? Stock market and basketball. Yeah, it's from Peri Ireo, means to take away or something like that, remove. It is never able to take away sins. And again, remember that we have to sort of, in light of overt statements in the Pentateuch, you know, that the sacrifices do take away sins and atone for sin, we have to understand this in kind of an ultimate or eschatological or fulfillment sense. Because if they did, you wouldn't have to offer them over and over again. That's the argument. So that's the men, and now verse 12 gives us the de. Okay? Good. Any questions about verse 11? Okay? All right. Let's move on then. Verse 12. Hutas da mi'an hiper hamarteon pras enenkas thizion esta dienekas ekathizen en dexia tu theu. We'll get verse 13 as well, which finishes the sentence. Ta loipan ek dekamenas heos tethosen hoi echthroi autu hippopadion ton padon autu. Now here's the other hand. On the other hand, this one, referring to Christ, now we have to find some verbs here. The main verb is, down the line, ekathizen, sat. This one sat. And we have a participle buried in the middle of the second line, pros enenkos, from prospero, aorist participle, active, masculine, singular, nominative. But this one, after having offered, and now again we've got this strange word order where we've got meon in the front and thizion in the back. But we have to take it together. This one, after having offered one sacrifice, and he offered it hiper hamarteon, on behalf of sins, right? Esta dienekas. We've seen this repeatedly in Hebrews. Dienekes is an adjective, and it means continual or perpetual. And this little prepositional phrase means, it can mean continually. It can also mean sort of permanently. Okay. And it probably means something like the latter there. Now, do we take it with the verb that follows or with the construction that precedes? And I guess I would tend to take it with what follows. He has sat down permanently or continually en dexia tu theou, at the right hand of God. We'll keep forging ahead and then go back and clean up if we need to. Now, ekdekamai means to wait for. We'll take this maybe as temporal, as he waits for. Now, ta loipon could be just a simple noun, and in that case, it would be the direct object of the participle, perhaps. Loipos means remaining or left over. But standing in first position here with an article, it's almost always adverbial. And so in this case, if you had to label it, and of course we all know that you have to love to label things grammatically, it would be an adverbial accusative of reference. That's what it would be. Finally, with respect to the remaining things. So, finally, as he waits until his enemies, tethosin. This is from tithemi, and if you pause, you can parse it if you know the principal part. Sixth principal part of tithemi is etethane. This is an aorist subjunctive passive. But subjunctives take active voice endings, primary endings, So this is an aorist subjunctive passive third plural. Until his enemies are put, are placed as what? In apposition, footstool. Hippopotion is a footstool. A footstool of his feet. So, in a sense, what we have is the basic sentence, hutas, this one, sat, ekathizen, right? And we have a participle in the front of it, and we have a participle in the back of it. See how that works? So, the participle in the front is, after he has offered one sacrifice for sins, he sat down while he waits until his enemies are put as a footstool under his feet. So, to be honest, and this thought just occurred to me, we kind of have a nice already and not yet, just in the grammar. Okay, so we have an aorist indicative for a main verb, an aorist participle for what's already happened, and a present stem participle for the waiting. As Christ, isn't that interesting? Christ himself is waiting until the Father puts all things under his feet, which implies, of course, that right now things are not all completely under his feet as a footstool. You may have noticed. Poverty, war, sin, death, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right. The world is still broken.
In this type of construction, is chaos normally followed by the subjunctive?
No. I might expect chaos who or something. But there's some flexibility there with chaos clauses. Yep.
I would have actually expected the future there.
Until he will put.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't use that in English, but a lot of other languages function that way.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. A future indicative.
Right.
I think there's some flexibility in chaos clauses. And this is why, for instance, sometimes you'll see chaos who, but then there's a flag on the play, a variant reading where the who is omitted. I think there just must be some flexibility. Yeah. It's a good question. And again, without going into the theology of it too much, remember that for you to use your enemies as a footstool, you know, is serious submission and humiliation for them. It's not just, oh, here, let me go down on my hands and knees and you can prop your feet up on my back. No, no, the feet are unclean, which is why it's such, for instance, a serious judgment to shake the dust off your feet, you know, in Matthew 10 and in Luke 10, I think. So this is complete subjugation and humiliation for the enemies of Christ. Right? That's what he's waiting. And as Paul tells us, another author, but same testament, the last enemy to be subject is death. Will?
You said hupopodion.
Mm-hmm.
Was it apposition?
I think so. You got another suggestion? No, it depends on what case it is.
What is it in apposition to?
Enemies.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's in a what case is
it? Well, see, that's a very cool thing, and I'm glad you mentioned this, because it will give me the chance to mention online one of the two cool things about Greek. And if you know these things, then you are cool. See? The first one is that you use the dative of personal agency only with verbs of the fifth principal part. That's the first one. The second one is the retained accusative. Does anybody know about the retained accusative? See? Well, you are.
It's one of Elsa's favorites.
I know it is. It's cool. That's right. Now, see, hippopotion is neuter, so it could be either a neuter singular nominative or a neuter singular accusative. Okay. And here's the deal. This retained accusative happens with a passive voice verb. What would it say if tethosin were active voice? It would say, until God, or maybe Christ himself, puts his enemies as a footstool. Right? That's what it would say. So both enemies and footstool would be accusative if the verb were active voice. When the verb becomes passive voice, one of the objects becomes the subject. And sometimes the second accusative is retained. Now, does this make any difference? The answer is no. None. But it's cool. So I actually want to parse. And I was so hoping that hippopotias, that it would have been masculine in gender, because that way this would have to be an accusative form. But it's not. It's neuter. So So I'm thinking that probably it's just here until his enemies are put, comma, a footstool under his feet. But if it's accusative, then it's a retained accusative. And both the cherubim and the seraphim and James W. Vells are singing at this point, which is not a bad combination, right? Because Vells sings pretty well, right? So, okay. Good. Questions about verses 12 and 13. So again, in the larger sense, we have the men construction, verse 11, right? And the dak construction is verses 12 and 13. And we have, really, it's very simple in a sense. We have one main verb in the men part, stands. And we have one main verb in the dak part, sits or sat, right? So see the contrast between the way the priests do it now in the earthly tabernacle, which is passing away, and how Christ does it in the sacrifice and the temple in which he has functioned, right? Okay? Great. All right, let's do 14, and we can get 15. Well, we'll just do 14. Miagar prosphora teteleoken esta dienekes tus hagiadzamenus. Now, this is, I think this is some very nice grammatical theology, if I can call it that. So mia prosphora, a prosphoros is an offering, and it's dative. Anybody? Why? What use of the dative might this be? He has perfected. Dative of means. Yeah, it works well. By means of one offering, tetaleoken. That's a nice. It's a classic, perfect form. Duplication on the front, kappa on the end. You're thinking, ah, I can parse this. Yeah. Now notice that it's perfect indicative. He has completed or perfected, and the people he's done this to are in a perfected state, right? So it's got an ongoing result to it. For by means of one offering, he has perfected forever, esta dienenkes, a present stem participle, those who are being sanctified. You got justification and sanctification in one verse. See the point? I mean, I actually think that maybe the writer to the Hebrews is making that point. So you're teleos, you've been teleo'd, even as you go on being hagiazo'd, if I could say it that way. So actually, it's a nice verse, and I've used it before in sort of pastoral care situations, you know, to help people see. I mean, I don't bring out the present stem participle. That's pastoral care situations with, like, you guys, right, who know Greek grammar. No. And I don't, do we have any, not that we need them, of course, in this group, do we have any English translations? Does it say those who are being sanctified? Does anybody know? Those who are being made holy. Yeah, see, that's a nice way to reflect the present stem participle. Right. So on the one hand, you're already perfect. On the other hand, you're being made holy. Right. Okay, so that was pretty easy. See, and you guys were thinking that Hebrews is hard, right? So dative of means, perfect indicative, present stem participle. And then verse 15. Marcherede hemin kai ta pneuma ta hagion metagar ta ere kenai. And then we get a long quote from Jeremiah 31 again, which we've seen before. Verse 15. And he bears witness to us also. And who's the he? Ta pneuma ta hagion, the Holy Spirit. And he also bears witness to us. For after he has said, I have to supply the subject of the infinitive there, after the act of saying, hey, Ray, can I, is the perfect infinitive active of lego, right? And then we get the quote about the new covenant, which we've seen before, and the Greek is not too hard. So I think we can just keep going. Any questions about verse 15? All right. Haute he diatheke hein diathesimai prosautus metatas hemeras akinas lege kyrias. Deduc namus mu epicardias auton, kai epitein dianoian auton epigrapso autus. Yeah, we'll just keep going. Kai ton hamarte on auton, kai ton anomi on auton, u me mnestesamai ete. Hapudu aphasis tuton, uketi prosphera peri hamartias. So, no verb in the opening clause, verse 16. So, this, the covenant, so just supply is. Let's see, there's an insertion marker there. Oh, it's just a de. All right. So this is the covenant which diatithemai in the middle voice means to make a covenant, to establish a covenant, which I will covenant toward them, or we might say with them, after those days, says the Lord. Just a small point, notice that when the demonstrative pronoun is working with a noun, it's always in predicate position. Right? So, which is why you have tas emeros, and then ekenos is in predicate position. So, same with both the near and the far demonstratives. So, this is the covenant which I will covenant with them after those days, says the Lord. Now, a participle from didomi, giving, maybe by giving my laws upon their hearts, and upon their understanding. Epigrapso, I will write them. Just a future indicative, first person singular. And now we've got a genitive, right, of sins, and we've got genitive of lawlessnesses. And when we finally get to the verb, it's from mimneskamai, which is passive deponent, and this is the aorist subjunctive passive, and we've got the no way Jose construction. U me plus the aorist subjunctive, which is emphatic future negation, right? And mimneskamai takes a genitive direct object. So, sins and lawlessnesses in the line above are the direct object of the verb. So, verse 17 would read, and I will certainly not remember the sins of them and the lawlessnesses of them, eti, yet, or still. Okay? And again, this is the promise that the writer is teaching us is fulfilled in the sacrifice of Christ once and for all, the new covenant, right? And he kind of has this, and by the way, this kind of finishes, when we get to verse 18 here, we've kind of finished the discussion of the high priestly office of Christ. I mean, it kind of lingers on a little bit, but we're kind of wrapping it up. And so he has this kind of summary statement in verse 18. Hapu just simply means where, right? No verb. Where there is forgiveness of these things, that would be an objective genitive, you forgive these things, no longer prosphora offerings concerning sins, right? Which again is why we don't have to have any more offerings. We've got one, right? Once for all. So, all right. And that's a good place to stop, and it's time to stop. So, that works out nicely.